I started telling some people this weekend, I said, I don't really need 30 minutes for my lesson. I need like 30 seconds. So unfortunately for you, you have to listen to 30 minutes where maybe you only needed 30. But I thought, you know, really, with this lesson, it's how do I get wisdom? Basically, it comes down to just read your Bible, believe it, and then do it. So everything else is just kind of extra today. You've already got the gist of it. So as far as training our hearts and getting more wisdom, well, I just thought that is what wisdom is. It is training our hearts to live wisely to the glory of God. And it is a process, you know, but it should be a process of us going up. You know, but it does take time, so don't become discouraged in your walk with the Lord. But hopefully today I'll just remind you of things that you know already are true, of how do we actually grow in wisdom. Well, our lessons this semester are taken from basically the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs would be known as a book of wisdom to us. So we're just going to start by taking a look at verses Proverbs 1 through 7. That's the beginning of the book, so that's a good place to start. But it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So it tells us who wrote the book. And the purpose of his writing this is to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and to figure the words of the wise and their riddles. And then the theme of this entire book is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, we see by taking a look at these verses that all of us are to gain knowledge in good and sound thinking. So the wisdom comes first, and then the knowledge and the sound thinking follows, rather than really what the world lives by, which is getting a lot of knowledge and what they consider good thinking first, and that leading them to wisdom. God's way is just totally opposite from what the world says is correct. Throughout the book of Proverbs, we will see that this type of wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God, is the one that we are to be striving for. The person who has this wisdom will grow intellectually and in his ability to live according to that wisdom. And that's what we're all wanting to do. We're all wanting to take the word that we know from the Lord and to have that take root in our heart and cause us to just live in a more wise way before the Lord. So when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, that's really the beginning. That is the first step. And God begins that transformation that he promises to all of us at that point. Everyone who has accepted Christ will be transformed. God promises that once you place your faith in him, he will begin that good work in you. In Colossians 2, verse 3, you can just jot that down. It says, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we just tend just to look for wisdom anywhere else besides in God's word. But it is only in the truth of the scriptures and applying that to our life will we truly have God's wisdom. So that's what we want to do. We want to learn and train ourselves to seek what God says about wisdom and life also. Proverbs 1:7, we just read, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, the fear of the Lord does describe a reverential attitude toward the Lord. And not necessarily, when you think of fear, it's not an it's not a fear of the Lord, but it's more of a reverential attitude of submission toward him. Now, when you think about standing before the Lord, there may be some terror, fear there. But in the original language, the fear of the Lord uses the name Yahweh for God. And that is the God who, he's the one who shows himself merciful. This is the merciful God. So when we think of God, I suppose that's where we get Father from. You know, it's just, we have that attitude of God. So having a proper fear of the Lord is to understand God for who he is. And he is the one who created the earth and sustains all things in it. Ooh, you are going to get a lot of review this week, I decided, because Gil preached my lesson to us. He preached it on Sunday, so I thought, either Gil looks at the newsletter and says, oh, Janice has the lesson, I must help her, or God looks at the newsletter and says, ooh, Janice is giving the lesson, I must help her. So anyway, some of this are verses that we talked about on Sunday, but anyway, they're great verses. In Psalm 119, verse 89, I think Gil used that verse even. It says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And that is so good to know. God's word is sure, it is settled, it is not going to change. And it goes on to say, your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. God's always faithful. He's not going to change. We can depend on him and trust in that. And now I've lost my thought. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You established the earth, and it stands. Here it first tells us that God is the creator of the universe, of the earth. He has created it, and because he has, it stands. He controls it. Nothing happens outside of his control, and it just cannot change on its own. But that is our God, the one who created the universe and sustains all things. And as we think of the fear of the Lord who did that, but yet we before him, our place is, we are very lowly. We are just man, but yet we are loved by him. And we also have to acknowledge that we are here to serve him and not serve ourselves. So the fear of the Lord is just having a right relationship with him. That's the beginning. We must make sure that our relationship with the Lord is based on faith and that we trust him with our lives. Well, one definition that we were given last week of wisdom is doing the right thing at the right time with the right motives. I'd say that does sum it up. That is right. And another definition is wisdom is the ability to see all of life from God's point of view and to know how to respond accordingly. I guess I really like this one because it brings the focus on God. He's the one that we should be living our life according to. He should be the one that comes first in our lives. But that is another way that we train our hearts. We train our hearts to think that we think of God first. How do I fit? How does my life and what I'm doing fit in relation to God and what he would have me do? Well, one thing that I think is important if we want to have wisdom is that we are teachable. And in Psalm 119, verse 18, is another great verse. It says, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. And that is a good verse. I use that verse many mornings as I sit down just to spend time in the Word. Lord, open my eyes. Help me to see what you want me to see. Make your Word alive to me. That's just some way that, you know, I just am telling the Lord, I want to be teachable. I want you to be able to tell me the things that I need to do to have a right relationship with you. So it's a great verse. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Well, if we have godly wisdom, we need to be thinking properly, because our thinking does determine our actions. And I would say, as far as wisdom goes, it's not like all of a sudden we have wisdom and so I just know all the right things to do. I have all the right words to say in all situations. I don't think that's really it. But as we do gain wisdom, I believe God just makes us more sensitive to his leading of the Spirit. You know, he just gives us wisdom in situations. He may help you remember verses. He may help you remember, you know, things that have been biblical truths that have been helpful to you in the past that you can share with others. But that is part of wisdom, being more sensitive to his leading and guiding. Well, since we're studying Proverbs this year, I just kind of wanted to refresh our memories on who is Solomon, the one who wrote the book of Proverbs. He was David's son. You all probably remember that. He was also the king of Israel. He is the eldest surviving son of David and Bathsheba. So let's take a look at 1 Kings 4:29 through 34, just to kind of help us remember. I think Chris read most of these verses last week, but it just tells us a little bit about Solomon. How smart was he? I am going to skip a little bit of it, so you'll just have to follow along. Oh, 1 Kings 4:29 through 34. It says, "Now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind, like the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men." Skip down a little bit. "He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar, even to the hyssop. He spoke also of animals and birds and creeping things and fish. Men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom." And the wisdom that Solomon had was more than just scriptural knowledge. It says here, you know, he knew everything about the trees. He basically knew everything about everything. He was considered the wisest man. He also wrote 3 books that we find in the Bible. I think most of the scholars say that Song of Solomon was probably the first book that he wrote. Then Proverbs he wrote next. It's probably in the middle part of his life. And then at the end, in the later years, he wrote Ecclesiastes. So, like the verses that we just read told us, you know, he wrote over 3,000 Proverbs. Not all of those we find in the book of Proverbs, but probably a little less than a third of those have God's eternal stamp of approval on them since they're in the Bible. But Proverbs does give us instruction about walking in God's character and in his will in our everyday life. We are instructed how to live godly, to make good decisions, and being so oriented to God that our life choices, our decisions, are always focused on him and they're pleasing to him. Well, in Ecclesiastes, he wrote this book in his later years. And actually, it's kind of like a lament. He does lay out the consequences of his abandoning of God's wisdom. He laid aside God's wisdom so that he could pursue earthly pleasures and to fulfill his own personal lust. And he says in the book of Ecclesiastes that everything done apart from God is vanity. At the beginning of Ecclesiastes 1, in verse 3, he says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And then at the very end of the book, in chapter 12, verse 8, the book ends with the words, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And in between the beginning and the end of that book, that idea is stated 36 times. He knows, Solomon knew that spiritually he had ruined or damaged greatly his life, and he had wasted much of his life. And he was trying to warn others not to make that same mistake. He says the conclusion, at the end of the book, his conclusion is, fear God, which means live according to God's word and keep his commandments. The wisest man in the world after when he's old, he looks back on his life and says, I blew it. I wasted my life. I did not live according to what God wanted. I wasted my life. So how did the smartest man in the world end up? I guess I'd call him a spiritual disaster. And we also have to ask ourselves, what can we learn from Scripture so that we don't repeat this mistake and become a spiritual disaster like he says he was? Solomon knew. He knew what God said. He knew God's commands. He knew what God had said. But he chose at some point in his life to ignore it. And that, I say that scares me to death. When I look at that, I wish that it wasn't even possible for a believer to do that. But it is. And so in light of that, we have to learn some lessons from Solomon. Keeping in mind that Solomon's spiritual failures were not because he lacked wisdom. Like I said, he knew it all. But he fell short in translating that head knowledge into living out the things that he knew to be true. So for the next few minutes, we're going to just take a few minutes and talk about how we can become more wise so that when we get to the end of our life, we don't look back and say, all is vanity. So we're going to look at how to grow in wisdom. And, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. I think some wise person said that, but, you know. These are principles that we hear all the time, but yet let's not fall short in applying those principles. First, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, true spiritual wisdom can be found in at least four ways, but we're going to talk about four ways today. The first of all is that you can ask God for wisdom. That's the first one. When Solomon could have had anything at all from God, he asked for wisdom and discernment. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a look at 1 Kings 3, 5 through 13. They're good verses. It's just good for us to remember. First Kings 3, starting in verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, ask what you wish me to give you. I think I'll just skip verse 7. Says, now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child. I think he was about 20 years old when this is happening. I do not know how to go out or to come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have you asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for life, for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before, nor will there be anyone arise after you. So I have given you what you have. I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you in all your days. And I think we'll go ahead and stop there. And he knows that it was a dream, but yet he knew that God had spoken to him. So God commended him because he did not ask for, give me riches, you know, do stuff for me. He didn't ask for a long life, but he asked for wisdom. And so at that point, Solomon did become the richest man, or the wisest man in history. But today we have the exact same opportunity to ask God for wisdom. So let's turn to James 1, 5 through 8. It says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So the first thing that we need to do is ask the Lord for wisdom. So when you come to, you know, anything in life, Lord, I need wisdom in this situation. Help me to know the right thing to do. That's our very first thing we need to do. The second thing we need is to know that wisdom can be obtained from God's word. Let's take a look at Psalm 119, starting in verse 98. Just for fun, I think I'll even read verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. We're talking here, it's in that verse, it's the commandments are ever mine, not our enemies are ever mine. But when we read the words in the Bible, that's what we're doing. We're reading words that God has given us. And God is our teacher as we study his word. And he instructs our heart, and he grows that truth in our hearts and in our lives. So we want to study the word because it does make us wiser than our enemies. And I would say if you take a look at Psalm 119, if you read through that, you will just be convinced that that is what he does all the time. He studies God's word. He goes to God's word. And that's what we are to be doing. Studying and obeying. Not just studying and saying, isn't this interesting? But it's actually the putting into practice the things that the word tells us. The next verse says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Well, as we meditate on God's word, he does increase our understanding and our ability to live according to it. But we have to be meditating on the word. And I would say that's a really big thing that probably we don't take advantage of enough. So as you're reading the word, it's not just a book that you are opening and studying like you did a textbook in college. You know, you do need a certain amount of knowledge, I'll say that. But it is more than just knowing the facts. You need to be meditating on it, thinking about it. What does this really mean? How does this apply specifically to me and my situation and my life? You know, prayerfully consider those things. Ask God for wisdom as you're reading and meditating so that he will open up the truths to you. And then the very last section, let's see. I understand more than the aged because I have observed your precepts. You know, the observing and the practicing of God's word, that is what makes us wise. I would say there aren't any real shortcuts. If there was a shortcut, it would be actually doing these things. Thinking about God's word, meditating on it, and then applying it to your life. Those are the shortcuts, and that's what God has for us to do. In Psalm 119, when you're reading through it, just in case you don't know, they divide God's word up, I would say. I mean, they use the words like commandments, testimonies, precepts, ordinances, law, ways, judgments, and statutes. But that all just means God's word. So when you are reading through Psalm 119, you can just kind of translate that for yourself. Basically, it just means God's word. So we just need to remember that knowing and meditating and walking according to God's testimonies and precepts and all the others has made this psalmist very wise, and it will make us wise also. And we're told this again in the New Testament. It's just not in the Old Testament, but Colossians 3:16 tells us something very similar. You can take a look at that. Colossians 3:16 uses different language, but it says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." To richly dwell means to be meditating on it, to be thinking about it. We are to be thinking on God's word and letting his truths permeate our thoughts and our actions. So as I was looking through here, my Bible has these titles in it. Right above verse 5, it says the characteristics and callings in our everyday life. So I'm looking through here, and I look at verses 8 and 9, and it says, "But you now also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices." Well, I look at this section, just kind of as an application. I look at this section, and I say, oh, I'm supposed to put aside, I'll pick out anger. I say, okay, well, yeah, there is that one person that makes me very angry. But I'm justified in feeling angry because they did this to me. God says, but now you, Janice, also put them all aside. Not some of them, and not Janice. It's okay that you continue in your anger toward this person. God says to put it all aside. So I'm not to do that anymore. I say, well, it's just not that easy, God. In the world's view, no, it's not that easy. But, I can do some things. I can pray for that person. Maybe that's the main thing I can do. Start praying for that person. They're not all bad. Maybe I need to quit focusing my thoughts on the bad issue or whatever it is. God, Christ died for them. So I need to quit focusing on the negative. Think of, pray for them. How can God use them? Let them grow spiritually. God, please use them in your ministry. Be focused on them instead of on myself. I can also remember, God has forgiven so much for me. I'm not worthy of his love. I'm not worthy of being his child. So I can offer that person the same love and forgiveness that Christ also gave me. I can give to them. I can pick out every one of these words: slander, malice. Malice is wanting to do harm to somebody, because of probably the way they treated you. God says, Janice, you cannot wish that on somebody. That is just sinful. It's wrong. You just need to stop. So that's what it means to let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. There's another verse. You can just jot it down. Psalm 119, verse 32. It says, I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. And it's just the idea of going to God's word, knowing him, meditating on him. He will enlarge your heart. He grows your heart to obedience to him, to a closer walk with him. It will allow you to forgive others where it was difficult in the past. Those are just some of the things that he does. I thought this was going to be really short, and here we are at the end. Well, We're just going to go through the points, the other two. Wisdom closely associates itself with the Holy Spirit. I think I wrote down Acts 6:3 on your paper, but the disciples were in need of other people at this time. The disciples couldn't do everything that needed to be done to help the people that they were serving. And so they were looking for other people to help them. And so the verse says, "Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, so that they may be put in charge of this task." So here we see that the Holy Spirit working in a life is closely associated with wisdom. So as we are growing in wisdom, we will be more in control of by the Holy Spirit. And then the very last way that I had today, the fourth way to grow in wisdom, is to abide in Him. John 15:4-7 are some really good verses. I'll just read them to you. They're probably very familiar to you. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the branch, so neither can you abide in me. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So to abide in Christ basically means to walk with him, to be obedient to him, to do the things that he tells us to do, means to abide in wisdom. So, like I started this out this morning, these are not new things. These are all things that we know. But yet, these are the things that God requires of us to do if we are to grow in wisdom. So, we need to be in his word. We need to believe the words that he has for us, the truth that he has for us. We can ask him for wisdom. We can be increasing in that so that we are growing, that we are doing the things that we know that he has for us in his scriptures. And he does that work in us that we cannot do. He is the one that causes that growth as we do the things that he tells us to do. So we'll go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we just thank you that you are a faithful God to us. Lord, we're just so thankful that you called us to be your children. And Lord, we're thankful that with that promise of salvation, that gift of salvation, that you promise to cause each one of us to grow in you. Lord, I pray that we would apply those things that you've told us that we need to do in order to grow our wisdom and to grow in our relationship with you. Lord, I just pray that you would just help us to be faithful to do these things. Lord, I pray that there would not be a single one of us here in this room who, when we come to the end of our days, look at our life and think, "I squandered it." Lord, help us just today just to renew our efforts, Lord, the things that we can do on our part, just to be obedient to you. Lord, I just pray for the rest of this morning that it would be glorifying to you. Lord, I just pray that you would grow these truths in our heart. In Christ's name, amen.